on careful separation, and this is the seventh message on this subject of careful separation. And I'm preaching part two of last week, so I'm going to review just a bit. How many of you were here last Wednesday? All right. How many were not here last Wednesday? That'll help me, because we're going to do a little bit of review for this message. I mentioned last week that our first pastor, Charles Ware — we've only had two pastors in the history of this church — and that our first pastor in the church actually said something that stuck out to me. He said that the church follows the world except 10 years behind. Church follows the world except 10 years behind. And I mentioned last week, if you were here, you remember that when I went to a trip with Dr. Hiles and other preachers, we went down to Texas and we were eating in a Holiday Inn down there. I think it was a Holiday Inn. We were staying in the hotel and eating in the restaurant. And one of the preachers asked him — we asked him questions and he was answering — he said, "What's the greatest enemy of fundamentalism?" And he said, well, Brother Hiles said, "Fundamentalism is God's truth. It's getting back to God's principles that are in His Word. And you're asking me what's the greatest enemy to the truth of God in our lives?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Parents following their children away from God. Parents following their children as they grow up away from God." And I think about the scripture we're preaching on last week and this week. It's called Proverbs 22:28, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." And God had a thing in the Old Testament to teach us New Testament truth, and that was that if you were given land that was inherited from Joshua's day, it was to be passed on within your tribe and within your family, and you weren't to move the landmarks. And can one of the men tell me a guy that wanted a man to violate that? He wanted him to move the landmarks because he wanted to buy his vineyard. And who was that guy, Joe, that wanted to do that? Ahab, the wicked king, and egged on by Jezebel, his wife. And remember, Naboth said, "No, I can't do that. That's wickedness. I can't move the ancient landmark. It has to stay in my family." And the king said, "I'll give you a better one. I'll give you a lot of money." He said, "No, I can't do that before God." And his wife saw him pouting, and she said, "Are you ruling in Israel? Are you the king and you're pouting?" She said, "Let me take care of this. You're supposed to be the ruler here." And she wrote lying letters saying Naboth had blasphemed God, and she got people to testify in a kangaroo court against him, kind of like they did with Trump. And he was impeached, so to speak, and stoned, given the death penalty. And then Ahab marched into the vineyard and took it over. Well, we know another man was there to meet him by the name of Elijah, and God had something to say about that. Amen. And I believe God's got something to say about what's going on in Iran right now. He's not happy with Iran. And I don't care if you're Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, or Candace Owen, or anybody else. God is not happy with Iran right now. And you read it in Jeremiah 49. But anyway, I'm not preaching on that tonight. Naboth did the right thing. He paid for it with his blood, but so did Ahab. Ahab was shot by an arrow, and so did Jezebel. Jezebel was tossed out of a rooftop, and Jehu ran over her with his chariot, just looking at the future of Hillabel and Bilabel and all that. But anyway, God says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." And we did an illustration of this last week. How that can happen with men, it can also happen with ladies. You know, we're living in a Laodicean time. And that started somewhere in the 20th century, when every time before that, there was a passing on of truth from mother to daughter, father to son. But we came to a point in the Laodicean era, starting in the 20th century, when that was refused and it was turned around. And now the standards of holiness, the landmarks, are not being done. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up. She's going to represent going back. Amen. My wife, come on up. She's beautiful, but she's only better as she gets older, let me tell you. All right, so she's going to be right there. And then Miss Diane, you're going to follow her, so you stand there. And Joanne, we're going to get you. And where's Camille? Is Camille here? She did it such a... Oh, there's Camille. And Camille, we're going to do what we did last week. The same thing, all right? And we got a Bible here. Brother Z's giving me a Bible. Now, this is passing down the old-time landmarks, the old-time Bible convictions for holiness of living and separation from the world. And my wife is going to pass it to Diane and so forth, and we're going to see what happens with this as it's passed. She receives it, passes it on, she receives it, and... Thank you. Give them a hand, including her. Now, I don't believe that's going to happen with Camille, but she's illustrating that what happened in the Laodicean church age. And we preached on that. And we said last week that, you know, there was an army and there was a withering assault by the enemy. They were being hit. And finally, the army was trying to hold the hill, but they just couldn't take it. And they retreated down the hill away from the withering assault of the enemy. And guess who was standing there? One of the men tell me, who was still standing on the hill? All right, Matt's got it. The standard bearer, the one who held up the flag. He was standing there with the standard, and he would not retreat. And one of the officers that had retreated with the army down the hill, he said, will the standard bearer fall back to the army? And the standard bearer said, will the army come forward to the standard? And I love that. And they did. From what I understand, the army did do that. And when they did that, they won the victory. And that's the problem. Tonight we have people backsliding away from God, backsliding away from His Word, backsliding away from His church. They're not here tonight, maybe. They're not even with God, maybe, tonight. And I'm saying, if it's a child, don't follow that child. If it's some spiritual child, don't follow that child. You stand there with the standard, and you don't retreat. You have the courage of your convictions. And we need that today. And by the way, we need some men that don't have lace on their underwear that'll stand up and preach the old time religion. And when things aren't being done right, we need men to say, hey, this is the way we behave ourselves in the church. And this is the way we do it. There's nothing wrong with that. Thank God we got a leader in the White House. We had the auto pin before and a bunch of people that didn't know their head from a hole in the ground. And thank God we got a leader in the White House. And we need leaders in the church house too. By the way, that's not lady preachers or men that think they're ladies. It's men. We need a good revival of old-fashioned male leadership. Amen and amen. I didn't plan to be this mean. I don't know what. All of a sudden I'm mean tonight. But hey, there's a time for that. There's a time for that. I like what Brother Hiles said, though. He said, I plan to get angry. I plan to get angry. I didn't plan it tonight, but anyway. But the message that we've been preaching, this is part two, is remove not the ancient landmark. And we preached last week on that, and we preached Jeremiah 6:16. It says there, thus saith the Lord, stand, I like that, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I remember when that happened to me in the 1980s. And we had all these people trying to get me to go the Neo way, and I was going the Neo way. And I decided, nope, I'm going to stand. And I'm going to ask for the old past. And I've found some rest for my soul since that time. But the end of Jeremiah 6:16, I didn't finish the verse. Here's what it says. But they said, we will not walk therein. And you know what? We live in a Laodicean age. You're going to find a lot of people are not going to walk therein. Now, if a wife can't see what her husband sees from the Bible, I would tell the wife, that's all right. You submit to the husband. Because that's why God made that man the head of your life, to help you. And I'd say the same thing in the church. If you really want to click for God and you like the church, you say, I just can't agree with the holiness. That church is just too holy for me. Well, I would encourage you, submit to the man of God. That won't hurt you. It won't hurt you a bit. I mean, we got too many Jezzies today that won't go along with that. You just tell them and show them. Show and tell. So we've been talking about not removing the ancient landmarks. And we've been preaching on this during this time. And the Bible says this, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know what? People don't want standards and they don't want holiness because it cramps their style. Why? Because they want to be happy. You know the song, the popular song, Girls Just Want to Be Happy? How many heard that? It's a pop song. How many heard it? Nobody dares say it, just a few. Girls just want to be happy, you know. Well, you've got all eternity to be happy. Conditions are going to be great in the future. When Christ rules with a rod of iron, you won't see one whorehouse. You won't see one Hollywood whorehouse porn movie. You won't see any homosexuals walking around with gay pride. They'll be in jail and dead. That's right. He'll rule with a rod of iron. I'm talking about King Jesus, friends. You think we're tough? Wait till you see him. Read your Bible. And I'm just saying that is what is coming. And so God is more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. He's got all eternity to make you happy. But you're a lover of pleasure too often more than a lover of God. You go by your sensual desires and your feelings too much. And you call that God. No, that's not God. That's a form of godliness. It denies the power. And I'm just saying that we've been preaching on this, and the Bible says that there are rewards for believers that want the old paths and won't remove the ancient landmarks. And it's in Matthew 5:18, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And then he said in verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments. Oh, tithing, that's not important. Well, I believe in grace giving, but tithing is a least command under that. It's foundational to it. And if you don't do the least thing, then how can you do the more thing of grace giving? You see, Jesus is interested in what you do and then you teach. The things that you do and teach. And so, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, by the way, you teach by your example, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's all going to be turned around in the future. The last will be first and the first will be last. Get a clue. Get a clue. And that's why in a church we need to have the least and the great. The great should be the ones teaching. Those are the ones that are involved in weekly soul winning outreach. Those are the ones that have the standards and can sign from the heart a standard sheet. And I understand if you're not there. That's fine. You know, the Navy SEALs, they have a rule. You don't have to be a Navy SEAL. You can just be a regular naval guy that's in the Navy or whatever. But if you're Brother Heidenreich, whatever. But if you want to be a Navy SEAL, you gotta follow the standards. Amen. That's the same thing with women in the military. They want to be in combat, but they have to change the standards for many of the women to make it. Well, that shouldn't be. Military can't operate that way. That's woke. That's woke. And woke will make you choke. And it's no good. And so I'm just saying that if you don't want to be a Navy SEAL, they have a bell, and it's in a prominent place, and all you got to do is ring the bell. All you got to do around here is ring the bell. I'll still love you, by the way. I'll still work with you. Just don't be a hypocrite. Just say, this is me. This is where I am. I'll love you. I'll work with you. I'll give you the best I can. But I'm just saying, I got to tell you what the Bible says. And so we talked about this. And tonight I want to preach on Remove Not the Ancient Landmarks, Part 2. Now, Part 1 we preached on last week. And remove not the ancient landmark. And I quoted a verse, ye adulterers and adulteresses. This is written to Christians. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you as a wife are flirting with some other guy and you're married, you're an adulteress. If you as a husband are flirting with some other girl, you're married, you are an adulterer. And if you as a born-again believer are flirting with the world and defaulting to the world standards instead of to your Lord, he's not happy with that. And he calls you an adulterer or adulteress. And so we said last week, remove not the ancient landmark. So stop removing the landmark of, one of the men tell me, what was that one thing we preached on last week? The landmark of what, Jose?
Was it the lady's dress?
Okay, you're close. You're getting into it. Yes.
The abomination of the cross, sexing and dressing of immodest apparel.
Yep. And I'll just read it to you from the notes. The landmark of women wearing only dresses and no pants, period. That's what the Bible teaches, and I preached on that, so no need to re-preach that message, but we did say that the garment that a woman shall not wear, that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. And then I said last week, but they all wore robes, didn't they? In Bible times, didn't they all wear robes? Yeah, it's true. But the men under their robes wore breeches, which are breeches. Which are what in the Webster's Dictionary?
Pants.
Pants. And they were modest pants. They had to be modest. Why? Because the men, when they did military service or when they did hard work, they were to pull up their robes and expose their modest pants, which were long enough to be modest, and they exposed their breeches, their pants. Women didn't wear modest pants under their robes. Whatever underclothing they had, it was not proper for a woman to pull up her robe. That's why the Bible says in more than one place, gird up your loins like a... Gird up your loins like a what? Man! And that will expose your pants. Now women went over and crossed over into a man's domain, and they started wearing pants, just like we showed here. And they did it in the 20th century. You say, where did it start? Amelia Bloomer. I researched this out. Her name, what a name. Last name, Bloomer. It's an abomination. Take the name Bloomer and do that. But my mother's last name is Bloom, right? Yeah. But anyway, it's an abomination. Bloomer, she wore a long dress, just like every woman did back then. Anybody seen pictures of the beaches in the late 1800s? And they were modest. They were biblically modest on the beach when they went swimming and everything else. Something's changed. Something rotten in Denmark here. But anyway, what I'm saying is I blame pastors and I blame preachers. You're a bunch of cowards, bunch of Laodicean lace on your underwear guys that are not worth it. So I'm just saying that that these men were told, gird up your loins like a man, and they wore these pants, and women started to go over under Amelia Bloomer. And what she did was, now get this, she, how many heard of bloomers? You know what bloomers are? Underpants? Well, she started wearing these beautiful underpants underneath her dresses, and she developed something called bloomers. And they got longer and longer, and finally they got so long they were below the knee. You know, for a man they'd be modest, but a woman has special protection that a man doesn't have. So anyway, she threw that out and she started pulling, hiking up her hemline until it got above the knee and the bloomers were below it. So she said, well, that's all right, it's just exposing my bloomers, which are beautiful, I want everybody to see them. And she kept hiking them up and hiking. Finally, they got so short that it was nothing but the bloomers, which were like kind of nice-looking lady pants. And that's how that got started. And then it went into athletics and so forth and so on. And, you know, women really made a god. Now, isn't it interesting that the judgment of God has come down and men are going into women's sports now? And I take that as a judgment of God. That's how I look at that. Just giving you a man's perspective that's a man of God. So I'm just saying that this happened. And in 1 Timothy 2:9 it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, the word modest we looked at last week is the word cosmion. And modest means following the order of the sexes. There are only two sexes, male and female. How many have heard of all these different pronouns and people, all these different genders? This is where it all came from. What I'm preaching on right now is why it all started. That's where it started. This was thrown down. I'm not going to throw it down. I don't do that. Thank you. But that's where it started. And so it says modest apparel. The word modest is cosmion. That means following God's order. God created everything in Genesis with order, male and female. And God unfolded how a man was supposed to dress. Never do you have women wearing pants in the Bible. Never was there one scripture about women having pants or breeches. And so, what does apparel mean? Well, there's two words for apparel. One is stole, that's for the man, and the other is kata stole. Kata means down over. It's a preposition with stole, and it means to flow down over, to cover the crotch, the derriere, and to look more modest on a woman. Now, that has two benefits, but I won't get into both of them. But that's what God says. And we already preached that, so I don't need to go into depth on that one. But tonight, I want to finish up by the second thing that you need to do and I need to do if we're not going to remove the ancient landmarks. Stop revealing your nakedness by wearing the attire of a harlot. Now, this is a second thing, and here's what Proverbs 7:10 says. And behold, there met him, speaking of a young man, a woman with the attire of an harlot. And that's the clothing of a harlot. And, you know, it's sad but true that we're following the world but lagging behind a little bit, and many Christian ladies are wearing the clothing of a harlot. And I'll look at that with you from the Word of God. I was out visiting, and I ran into a lady, attends our church. I don't know if she's a member. And she had on the attire of a harlot. I didn't judge her as being terrible. In fact, I don't even think she's aware of it. She would have probably no idea, I would think, in my knowledge. But that's the way the world has presented itself, and she's just following the world. The Bible says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, that's prove in practice, by doing it, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But we had ladies that did that, that lived in a church house here, and men in the neighborhood would comment, wow, it's so refreshing to see ladies that don't wear the attire of harlots. They didn't put it in that way, but that's what they were saying. I want to look at exposing your nakedness, which is what harlots do in order to get profit from it. You know, there are a lot of YouTube videos out, and people make money on YouTube videos. I've been told by Generation Z and the millennials that that's how they make money. I've been told that. And you get so many hits, and that means you're going to make some money. I forgot what it is. You need something like 10,000 to start getting into the money. Whatever it is, you know, that's when you get into the money. And there are quote-unquote wholesome husband and wife. They wouldn't cheat on one another, you know, all that good stuff. And they're doing an infomercial together. But you notice the husband, if he's running that thing, he wants to make money, and he's usually got an attractive wife in a miniskirt sitting there next to him. Why? Well, she's wearing the attire of a harlot, and they can get more hits that way. By the way, do you think Fox News would do that? Why, sure. You want to have high ratings, you have some good-looking women in there that dress like harlots. You say, well, what's a harlot dress? I'm going to tell you tonight from the Bible, the Word of God, but I'm saying it's going on. I'm thinking a fundamental preacher friend of mine, and he was preaching like I'm preaching, and a lady came up to him afterward and dressed him down. I call that blowback. And she dressed him down, and she said, you dirty-minded pervert. Men do not have evil thoughts when they look at a woman's thighs. And the preacher said, oh, yes, they do. Are you a man? She said, no, but George, and her husband was there, about 6'6", 225. George! Tell them, men don't have evil thoughts when they look at a woman's thighs, do they? And George is just afraid to lie and afraid to tell the truth. You know, it's like some guys in church, you know, they're afraid to say amen when the preacher's preaching that. Why? God help you. But anyway, I think the woman said to the preacher, if I was married to a man like you, I'd commit suicide. And he said, ma'am, if I was married to you, I'd give you the gun. I'm just saying. We've got a failure to have male spiritual leadership. It really starts in the home. That's the test. That's the test. And Jesus disagreed with this lady because he warned about this, to men especially. He said to men in Matthew 5, 27 and 28, but it also applies to women. He said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Well, what does that tell you? Jesus knew men. He knew the danger of men. And notice what he said there. He hath committed adultery with her. It's possible that a woman helps a man commit adultery in his heart. You say, how would she do that? By dressing in the attire of a harlot, which means she exposes her thighs. And we'll get into that. She exposes her thighs. And if a man doesn't have evil thoughts and see an attractive woman's thighs, you need a treatment. I'll tell you a doctor to go to. But I'm just saying that Jesus recognized this, and that applies to women too. And I'm thinking of a Christian school teacher, a neo-evangelical, not only Christian school teacher, but principal. And he was mocking a fundamental preacher and calling him a legalist because, you know, the girls had to dress modestly and the guys at the school. And he said, you're a legalist. Look at the rules you put for dress in your school. And the guy, the fundamentalist, said, well, then your girls can come to school in a panty and a bra. He goes, oh, no, of course not. He said, legalist, legalist. In other words, your standard, you have standards. You're just lower standards. Let's stick to the biblical standards. It's like dating. It's good for a man not to what when he's dating? Touch a woman. Touch a woman. And so we follow God's standards. Don't move the ancient landmarks. And so we're talking about that tonight. And you say, well, guys have a problem with that? Yeah, I remember being in elementary Christian school. How many of you can remember when you were in elementary school? And in younger elementary school. And I had a friend of mine. He was a little older than me, but he was in the elementary Christian school. His name was Bert Damstra. Bert Damstra. Lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Mayfair Elementary Christian School. Baldwin or Mayfair Elementary, when I was in first grade. I don't know if you remember that, Mom. You probably do. But anyway, Bert Damstra, he told me, he said, you know, the girls all wore dresses back then, modest dresses, the little elementary girls. He said, you know what I do with the girls? I said, what? He said, I fall on the ground like I need to fall down to get something, and from that place I can look up their skirts. I can look up their skirts. And I thought, my, those girls had no idea. But there is a protection that needs to be, a modesty that needs to be from a woman. And God recognizes that. He recognizes that. And mothers need to teach their daughters how to dress. So not to expose their thighs. Mothers need to teach their daughters how to dress so that they know how to sit. Why? Because guys are on the look. And in a perfect world, they wouldn't, but we don't live in a perfect world. So protect yourself at all times, like the referee says. Now, God says in the Word, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, in 1 Timothy, listen to me, he's talking about church services. And when he says, I will that men pray, there are two different words that I know of for men in the language that the New Testament was written in. And the one word is anthropos. Anthropos. And that word means mankind in general. Could be male or female. The other is the word aner. Aner. That means only men. And when he says in church, and that's why Timothy was written to how to behave yourself in the house of God. He said, in the church, when the whole church is meeting, only the men are to lead in prayer. You might wonder on Wednesday night why I don't have my wife lead in prayer. Why I don't have Miss Angela lead in prayer. Somebody. Because God's word says, I will that the men lead in prayer in church only. Same thing in church preaching. But what does the next verse talk about? He talks about the women in church. So it's like, okay, this is what the men are to do. They're to lead spiritually in church. But in verse 9, the next verse, 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, we see the key role of women. And it says they're not to dress in a way that would distract. It says in like manner also. In other words, you see the men's contribution. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. We already looked at modest apparel and what that was. But shamefacedness and sobriety. Think about that. What is shamefaced and sobriety? I'll tell you, women have lost their shame today. The attire of a harlot. It's bad enough in the world, but to see the church doing it? The uncovering of the thighs is not modest apparel, by the way, for men or women. The uncovering of the thighs is not modest apparel for men. Thighs go from the waist to the knee. You should cover the knee and from the waist on a man as well as a woman. Moses wrote that even a man is to cover his thighs or he is exposing his nakedness. God says to men in leadership through Moses in Exodus, and thou shalt make them, speaking of those men, linen breeches, and those are pants, to cover their nakedness. From the loins, that's the waistband, even unto the thighs, that means you cover from the waist to the bottom of the knee, which takes care of it. And by the way, they are restoring the temple garments for the priest in Jerusalem and Israel. And guess what? Their pants cover from the waist to the bottom of the knee. Because to expose the thigh, even of a man, is to expose your nakedness. Interesting. And Isaiah wrote again about nakedness. And here's what Isaiah said in chapter 47, verses 2 and 3. He says, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. There in Isaiah 47, 2 and 3, God says to the Babylonian exiles that were being judged and exiled, he said, when these ladies pull up their dress, they did wear dresses, modest dress, but they had to pull them up to go over the rivers to be exiled. He said, when they did that, their thighs would be uncovered. And he said that would be to uncover their nakedness. The uncovering of your thigh, ma'am, is nakedness. And mister, too. Right. It's nakedness. And God says, no, that is not right. What about shamefaced and sobriety? That's how women ought to dress, with shamefacedness and sobriety. But the Bible says women have lost their blush. Did you know that? And women will sit up there on Fox News or anywhere else on YouTube videos or I guess some even in church and will uncover their thighs with a miniskirt on. By the way, they say miniskirts are getting shorter today than ever before. Public nakedness, showing of your thighs. Well, you shouldn't wear a panties and a bra, but if it's summertime and it's hot and you put different colors on it, maybe some polka dots on it, you dig a hole in the ground and throw some sand around, and now you're on a beach, well, then you can go out with panties and a bra in that way. No, that is to your shame. That is uncovering your thigh, and it is nakedness in the King James Bible, and God, my friend, is against it. He does not like it. And so the Bible speaks about all of that. And you say, well, what about in the house with a man? Can he uncover his thighs at home? Do you uncover your thighs at home?
Occasionally.
That would be scary. A scary thought. I'm really scared to think of it. But in the home, here's what it says in Leviticus 18, the nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. That means you should never see your mother's thighs or your father's thighs. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, thou shalt not uncover. Verse 9, you shall not uncover the thighs of your siblings. I remember a couple years ago I had to help out. And there was incest in the home. Fundamental church. See, God knows all these things. And he warns us about these things. I heard of a father, fundamental pastor, said this to me. He drilled a peephole through the wall into his daughter's bedroom. And as she got to be a teenager, he watched through the peephole. You say, oh, terrible. God knew about it. God warned about it. And God said, there's nothing new under the sun. And this is what I say. Do not uncover nakedness on the beach anywhere. In other words, you should not show your thighs in your family life, but be modest even in your family life. You say, well, what about the top? In John 21, verse 7, the Lord was coming to the disciples after the resurrection. Peter had backslidden, and he was out fishing, and he took off his top, his fisherman's coat. He took it off. And when he took it off, like I'll take off my coat here. He took off his coat, and he had nothing under it. I have a shirt, an undershirt, undershirt and a tie. He had nothing under it. Nothing. And the Bible said the Lord came, and when the Lord came, he grabbed his coat to put it on. Why? Because he was backslidden and he knew his nakedness was being uncovered. That means your belly should not be showing. How many have ever seen these fashions with the belly showing? Man, I got that belly in shape. I'm going to show it. The top covers the back, the shoulders, the front, the chest, the belly, it all. Should be no cleavage. And that goes for men too. Peter was a man. You say, how did they swim back then? They wore a shirt, like a t-shirt type thing. That's how they swam. Now, the only time I ever take it off is when nobody's looking and I'm in some desert place. And I may take it off for a little bit, get a little sun on it, put it back on. But I swim in that t-shirt type thing. I was swimming in a muscle shirt, but I think I'm going to a t-shirt. But I'm just saying, remove not the ancient landmark. So stop removing the landmark of women wearing only dresses or skirts that are modest, no pants, period. Two, stop revealing your nakedness by wearing shorts that don't cover the knee on men. And women, if you're thinking you're wearing a mini skirt that doesn't cover the knee, that is not modest. And if it's so tight, that's not a catastole. It's showing everything, and that's worse. Kind of reminds me of these Catholic schoolgirls. They wear these Catholic dresses. Oh, they're supposed to be. And they're the worst thing there is. And even porn stars now use that. They use the Catholic dress. Get up. It's so sick. Stay away from pornography. Stay away from... It's all over. You can't avoid that first look, but don't take that second look of what's going on. And you women, you do your part. And you say, well, I'm older, what? You're still a woman. And you are to set the pattern and keep passing it down to be great for God. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about holiness, and a lot of people can't take this preaching, and a lot of preachers can't preach it. I'm just glad God helps me. He helps me. Diane prays for me, so I'll take that. She told me, I'm praying for you, preacher, tonight. But I wonder if you say, you know, Pastor, as I've been listening to these messages, God's been speaking to my heart about some area, and I don't know what it is, but it could be some area in your life that God's been saying.